shine through, the genuine love of Jesus. So Debbie's going to read to us this morning, 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 to 13.
Hi, everyone. And now I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love.
Thank you. It's a wonderful passage, isn't it, of Scripture? And we were kind of reading Ephesians 2, was it, this morning? And singing those songs about the love of God. And in my Bible, the heading for this passage, it's a bit of a spoiler. It says, it's entitled, Love is Indispensable. Love is indispensable. I've split this into 7 paragraphs, and don't worry. I'm printing on single-sided pieces of paper, so don't worry. But as we get to grips with this, I just urge you this morning not to treat this as an intellectual exercise. So often we can be so good at slicing and dicing the Word of God, can't we? We cut it up into pieces, to increase knowledge. But let's not miss, the real message. This is the life-transforming Word of God. And as we apply the Word of God to our lives, then we're going to know the power of His Spirit working in us. And join me in prayer as I start. Father God, by your Spirit, Lord, will you help us to understand, to know the greatness of your love for us. Lord, we don't just want to know about you, Lord, but we want to know you in our hearts, in our heart of hearts. Lord, let you just reveal yourself to us, Lord, afresh today. In the name of Jesus, amen. So, with that prayer, I ask you just to follow along in your Bibles. You've got the scripture open, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And just listen to the Holy Spirit. Just speak to the Holy Spirit in that kind of small voice, that inner voice. Just be aware of that as you listen today, as you read the Word. What he might be speaking to you, because there might be different things that speak to different people, things that will stand out to you, that he wants to speak to you about. We've talked, haven't we, this morning about God is a personal God. He knows us by name. So let's set the scene to begin with. back in the previous chapter, chapter 12, Paul talks to the Corinthian church of the spiritual gifts given to believers, to the church. And it talks of the church being the body of Christ, with each of us being part of the body. And it encourages us to eagerly desire the spiritual gifts. And we're very familiar with this passage, aren't we? But in the very last verse, verse 31, it says, "And yet I will show you the most excellent way." Wow. Isn't that a teaser? I will show you the most excellent way. And then we come on to chapter 13, which is what Debbie read to us today. And that's what we're sharing, the most excellent way. So, point number one, let's read again. "If I speak in the tongues of men or angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and I can fathom all mysteries, but not, and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship, that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing." And looking at this first paragraph, we see that we can have every spiritual gift, but without love, we're empty. We are nothing. We gain nothing. Love is the game changer. The special ingredient that is the difference. So you may have the gift of tongues. You may be good at speaking. You may be a prophet. You may have a gift of knowledge or of faith. You may be gifted with great generosity or great humility. But without love, it says, we are empty. We have nothing to give. So we gain nothing. So that sets the scene, doesn't it? That sets the importance of love. And Paul was reminding the Corinthian church of this importance of love. Did the Corinthians think themselves super spiritual because they had the important spiritual gifts? Paul underlines that love is indispensable. He elevates love, the fruit of the Spirit, above the gifts of the Spirit. An illustration of this truth is in Luke. It's a lovely story, Luke 7, 36 to 50. Jesus was having dinner at the home of Simon the Pharisee. And everyone important was gathered. And a woman regarded as a nobody came uninvited and washed Jesus' feet with her tears and a jar of perfume. And Simon in his heart thought less of Jesus because he had allowed this woman to touch him. If Jesus knew who she was and what a sinner she was, he would have nothing to do with her. But Jesus turned the tables. The woman went away forgiven, went away saved. She was a nobody was a somebody in the kingdom of God, simply because she loved her Lord. The one who was least but loved was the greatest. And those who are greatest in human eyes, without love, with the least. Interesting story, isn't it? Lord, give us more of your love today. Give me more of your love today. I need your love, oh God. So, that's point one. Point two, it goes on, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. Does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always always hopes, always perseveres. And this is point number two. His love is gloriously good. It's great, isn't it? The love of God, it's perfect. This is no mere human love. This describes a perfect love that comes from God, the genuine love. This speaks of a new heart of love, a biblical love that reflects the character of God himself. And this love goes beyond training. It goes beyond a good upbringing. New creation places within each of us. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is the fruit of the Spirit, as we see in Galatians 5. Love, joy, peace, etc. This love is gloriously good. It's not something that's earned or worked for. This is a gift of God for all who put their trust in him. And Paul is reminding the Corinthians what love looks like. This is the goal. Pursue this love. Don't settle for anything less. Don't let your love go cold. Don't be lukewarm. And as we read these verses that speak of God's perfect love, we should recognize where we lack in love and repent of that lack of love. In the book of Revelation, chapter 2, it's the same call for the church in Ephesians. What did God have against the church of Ephesians that lost their first love? And the invitation is for all of us to rekindle our first love. We must look to God alone as the source of love. God, love doesn't originate with us. We love as a result of God's love for us. We are to keep ourselves in this love. 1 John 4:19 says we love because he first loved us. We love because he first loved us. Number three. Love never fails. Yeah, we sang that today, didn't we? Point number three is one of my favorite quotes in the Bible. Love never fails. Yes, we're talking about the perfect love that comes from God. Not the broken human kind of love, this corrupted form of love that may often fail. God's love is perfect. It never fails. He wouldn't be much of a God, would he, if he failed? He's never ever failed. His ways are perfect. And so is his love that he lavished on us. Perfect love casts out fear. All fear. And this is a powerful kind of love. A love that never runs out. It never lets go. It never fails. And we can trust this kind of love. We can be certain of his love for us. His unfailing love. He loves you unfailingly. Praise God. Unfailingly. Yeah, we can trust. Number four, where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. Hallelujah. So now we may only know in part, but there is a day coming. Hallelujah. We're going to be complete in him. We will fully know the amazing love of God. We'll fully realize the magnitude of who God is. And we'll be able to enjoy that. We won't be able to without our human limitations. Yeah, what a day that will be. We've all had glimpses, haven't we, of God. Glimpses of his love, his great love for us. The wonder of creation. The joy of friendship. The warmth of the sun. And whether you've recognized them or not in these glimpses, I can guarantee you've had enough of a glimpse of this immense love, this immense God that we have, to decide he's worth following. He's a good God. And this passage talks of an end that is coming, a time when there will be no more prophecies, no more need for the gifts of tongues or word of knowledge. There is a time coming when we're all going to meet God face to face. You know, it may seem like this world would just spiral on and on and on, but the Bible is very clear that our days are numbered. Christ has promised that he will return, and he's faithful to his promises. As the church remembers Ascension Day this week, I think it's Thursday, isn't it? Thursday 29th. Ascension Sunday next week, maybe. Remember the promise that was made to the disciples in Acts. Acts 1:11. Why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. Are you looking forward to meeting God face to face? Yeah. Are you ready for his return? When his completeness comes, what's in part will just disappear. We won't be disappointed. Absolutely not. We have a glorious future ahead. Do you remember the story of Thomas? Doubting Thomas, the disciple that doubted Jesus, his resurrection. Jesus took a very personal approach, didn't he, to Thomas. He appeared to him in John chapter 20, verse 26. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." And then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen yet and yet have believed." Have you put your faith in God fully? Even though you've only just had a small glimpse of who he is, we can put our faith in God. Blessed are those who put their trust, their hope in him. Point number five. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child, and I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For we only see as a reflection, as in a mirror. know fully, even as I am fully known. We're fully known by God. Each of us, fully known by God. Maturing in Christ is like a child growing up into a man or a woman. And I think there's an encouragement here in this passage for us to put away the ways of childhood behind us and press on to know him more deeply. Like looking into a poor mirror, and I think the mirrors in those days were pretty poor. The Corinthians did not see as clearly as they thought. At best, their knowledge was partial. But they should not cling on to the spiritual gifts with pride and think too highly of themselves. Rather, they should possess and appreciate all the gifts as temporary provisions. This is what God's given us. Seeing them as partial, inferior to that which eternity holds as a future coming and as a salvation, a glorious salvation for each of us. Number 6, main, but the greatest of these is love. Paul says that love, faith, and hope will remain. These are investments for eternity. Yeah. Eternal investments, faith, hope, and love. This is a remaining kind of love, an eternal love. Faith, hope and love will continue into eternity, ad infinitum. We have a faith, a hope, and a love that will never, never fail. Praise God. This reminds me of the verse about the vine and the branches in John 15, where we are encouraged to remain in him, remain in his love. John 15, verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. So that's John 15, verse 9 to 13. A command to love one another just as he loved us. Remain in his love. Remain in his love. And let his love remain in us. Let his love remain in us. Dwell in his love. Live in his love. Yeah. Yeah, there's a possession, isn't there, with this? There's a kind of, yeah. His love in us is we in him. Yeah. Live in his love. Amen. And point 7, I've already read it, but the greatest of these is love. The greatest of these is love. Love is the greatest. We all respond to love, don't we? Jesus spoke repeatedly of love. Love was the hallmark of his disciples. John 13, 34 to 35. commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Love needs no explanation, does it? We can all know the perfect love of God, the eternal love that never fails, his powerful love, a force for good, not for evil, a love revealed through Jesus, who died for us on the cross to save us from the holy wrath of a perfect God. He took our sin upon himself. That was how much he loved us. God is love. Up until now, we may have just glimpsed, as if in a mirror, a little bit of God, a little bit of his love. We may have some maturing to do. But we can be encouraged this morning to persevere, to remain, to know this love for ourselves in a new way, a fresh way. Let his love be amongst us. Without love, we are just empty vessels of no worth. But with his love inside of us, we are transformed into his likeness. It motivates us. It helps us to be like him. We have the greatest gift that will last eternally. Amen. So, two verses to finish with. 1 Corinthians 2:2. What we have received is not the spirit of this world, but the spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. Yeah. Let's lean on the Spirit to explain this wonderful mystery of what God has done for us. Matthew 10:8, freely you have received, freely give. Yeah, that's very important. Lord Jesus, thank you for your love for me today and for your love for each one of us here. Yeah, help us, Lord, to remain in your love, to persevere in your love. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thanks, Andy. Let's just close in prayer then and have fellowship with one another afterwards. Try and show a bit of love. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for this opportunity to be together, to worship you, Lord, to focus on you. Lord, it's so important for our lives to be able to bless one another, but first of all, to focus on you and give to you and receive from you, Lord. Lord, we just thank you for that love of God that comes down vertically to us, and we should show that back to you, but also sideways to those around us. The greatest commandment is love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and the second one, love thy neighbor as thyself. Lord, we just thank you for that, Lord. And just pray your blessing on us all this week